Maybe we can sing the chorus alive, alive.
Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing alleluia, sing alleluia. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing alleluia, sing alleluia. My Jesus is alive.
I love that chorus because Jesus is alive, and I don't think that he's ever going to die again. He's always going to be alive for us. I want to welcome everyone here this morning. Welcome visitors. We're happy to have you with us. This morning I want to maybe as we look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I want to look at walking in newness of life in our own lives. And when it comes to applying resurrection power to our spiritual lives, I just was thinking, or the question came to my mind, what is the weakest link that I have to in applying the resurrection power to my life? Is it believing that it happened, or is it harnessing that resurrection power to work in my life? And I believe for me, and I would say for most of the audience that we have this morning, it probably is harnessing that resurrection power to work in our lives. I think in the world that the weakest link might be that they don't know, or they don't really believe for sure that Jesus rose. They have doubts about that. And we see a lot of people trying to prove, give evidence of all the reasons why we believe that Jesus rose again. So this morning, I'm going to focus more on how what I think we here struggle with more than I am to try to give more evidence. However, this week I did read a little clip that talked about evidence, and just was interesting to me. Doesn't really apply to my message, but thought I would share it with you anyhow. And that there is no other eyewitness history recorded about the resurrection of Jesus Christ other than what's recorded in the Bible. So there were other historians in that day that could have wrote about the resurrection, maybe to dispute the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but they don't have anything that they, according to what I read, they don't have anybody to that wrote about that at that exact time, or the contemporaries that were contemporary with the apostles or the writers of the gospel. And I just, as I was thinking about that, because there is no others that wrote about it, to me that strengthens the truth of the resurrection, because no one disputed it. Everyone just took what these four writers said about it and other apostles said about it. And that's what we have recorded today as the history of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it just strengthened me just to hear that little thing. And I know there's many other little tidbits that we hear and that we read about that people are finding out today about the resurrection that do strengthen our faith. And I don't want to make light of any of those. I think those are important. So when I say that I'm not focusing on that, it's not because I think that we don't need it. I think we need it. But I think that I think that as it applies to my life, that we struggle as Christian people with putting that resurrection power into our lives and having it available for us to use. I would like to read Romans 6. I was going to only read one verse out of there, but as I got back just a little bit ago, I opened it up and actually looked at the chapter, and I don't see how I can get by without reading it. So you might have to sit here a little longer, and I'll try to keep your attention harder. But I think it's going to be better if we read the whole chapter. Romans 6, if you want to follow along. Verse 4 was the verse that I had picked out to use for my text, so we'll come back to that verse often. But I'll just read through the chapter, and then we'll go on from there. Verse 1 in Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And I want to point out that word should. That's not future. That's right now. We should walk in newness of life today. Verse 5, for we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And that is talking about the future. So I think it's two different things going on in verse 4 and 5. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as though that are alive from the dead, and your members are instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. I think that I'm going to stop there in verse 14, actually, or verse 13. I think that gives what I really want to say. Basically, that this chapter is just bringing out how, and I want to bring that out further on in my message, but this chapter in this first part is really stating how that it is a mind, more of how we reckon our mind to think. And I want to try to bring that closer to home to us. You know, we struggle with knowing or understanding properly how we should walk in newness of life. And I'm not accusing us. I'm just saying this about all Christians. I think many Christians struggle with this. And I would like, if we look around the room on electrical outlets, I can't see any right now, but you know what I mean by electrical outlet. There is enough energy in that little outlet and enough power to kill each one of you if you get hooked onto it in a wrong way. And in that power inside that electrical outlet is constantly there for us to use. It seems like a waste that you have all that power in that outlet or that light switch, and it just sits there day after day, week after week, year after year. Some of these outlets maybe have never been used. That one there, I don't know how much it's been used. It's been just sits there, has all that power in that outlet, but it doesn't do anything. Just sits there waiting for it to be used. And if we plug a cord into it, it's not difficult to get the power out of it. It's there. If we go flip the light switch on back there, the power is there waiting for that to energize these lights. And Jesus has that power that is greater and stronger than any of these this electrical power that's inside these outlets, and it's available for each one of us to plug into. The difference in getting the power of Jesus Christ in our lives and using that power behind that's in those outlets, in a lot of ways, is a big difference. But the parallel that we can see, there is a power that is constantly waiting. The power of Jesus Christ, the resurrection power, is constantly waiting for us to tap into, for anyone to tap into, a Christian to tap into. And yet, we as believers and Christians, we struggle with actually tapping into that power in our own lives. And I think the struggle that with having resurrection power in my life, I struggle, I maybe don't struggle, but maybe it's that I just let it go. Nelson brought out in Sunday school that maybe we deny it too much. But we just leave it there. We don't really know that it's important. So I would like to also look at some of the reasons why we struggle having that power in our lives. And this week I heard someone talking on the radio, and they were giving a testimony of Kayla Faye Tucker. Maybe some of you heard that even. And I had forgotten about this lady. She was executed in Texas in 1998, I believe. But anyhow, her story, she grew up in a very poor home, a very dysfunctional home, and a very, very terrible life. And she got into terrible things when she was very young age. And when she was 20, in her early 20s, she helped gruesomely kill two people. And she went to prison for it. She wasn't sorry. She just wasn't sorry. She wasn't taught to be sorry. She wasn't taught about God. She was a very evil woman, young woman. And in prison, she wanted to do bad things even still. But then, one day, she saw a Bible that somebody had brought in, and she just rebelliously decided to steal this Bible, and she took it over, and then she started reading it. And then she became embarrassed that she didn't want anybody to see she was reading this Bible. She found out, even as ignorant and evil as she was, she still knew that this Bible was, in her mind, a sign of weakness. But she was interested. She was drawn to it. So she went and hid and would read the Bible. And she ended up, she got into the Gospels, and she seen what Jesus did. And she became so sorry for her sins. And she gave her heart to Jesus, of course. And then she lived several years in prison, and she had a vibrant testimony. She was just so on fire for the Lord. And right up until she was executed in 1998, she had a testimony that was very, very extraordinary. And her life, and the life of many people like her, are examples of people who understood, who really understand what it is to walk in newness of life. When she gave her life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and I'm just using her as an example, I know that there are many other people like this too, but when she gave her life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit came into her life and gave her comfort that God forgave her of her terrible past. And I believe that she could feel a difference, because it was a big difference. And I think that people like Kayla Tucker realize how terrible their old life was and how good the new life is. And the pull to go back to that old life is not very strong because of experiencing how terrible it was. And how terrible a person can become when you don't have Jesus. And we, people who grow up in Christian homes, maybe a Mennonite home or regardless what denomination they grew up in, as long as they grew up in a Christian home where Christian principles were taught, those kind of people that come from that background, we sometimes struggle with understanding about the newness of life in Christ that we have. Some of the reasons that we do is due to the reason that we want to feel something special every day. We want to feel it all the time. And we desire to feel, to be alive and feel that way and be renewed. But the truth is, the Bible doesn't say that it will just happen. It says that it will happen if we make the choice to walk in newness of life or not. I think another reason that we may struggle with this is because we don't fully understand our position without Christ. Because we are taught to live a good life, it's hard for us to see truly that we have the same potential as Kayla Tucker, and that our souls are just as far from Christ as Kayla Tucker's soul was from Christ. That our souls without Christ are just that same far away. We're tempted to judge our newness of life by how much we have been saved from, thinking that we may have not been saved from as much. But we need to remember that our position without Christ correctly. Without Christ, each of us are just as lost as the world's worst sinner. Another reason we may struggle with having newness of life is because we have the same attitude as the rich young ruler who came to Jesus asking him what he must do to be part of the kingdom of God. And when Jesus told him that he must sell his possessions and give it away, it was over for him, because he all of a sudden didn't feel his life was that bad after all. He wanted the blessing of being a Christian, but wasn't willing to lay down his life for the kingdom of God. And we struggle with that too in our settings, with wanting the blessing of newness of life, but find it hard to discipline ourselves to actually live in the newness of life in Christ. And I would like to look at now how to have this newness of life in Christ. And I believe we all know how, but I just want to say it in simple terms again. When a person first comes to Christ, accepts Jesus into our hearts, you know, in some ways there is a process that happens, maybe not really a process, but I guess I'll back up a little bit. I just want to say that each of us today, we all want to be alive spiritually. If I would ask all of you, I don't think any of us would want to say, no, I don't care. I don't care if I'm dead. We don't want that. We all want to be alive. We want to have a vibrant Christian life. In fact, I think that each of us, we want to feel it. We want to know and feel it that we're close to God. And we want to be so alive spiritually in Christ that we can't help ourselves but go out and just want to tell everybody. And that we want to tell everybody that we love Jesus and ask him if they do. We have that thinking that's what we would like to have in our life. We would like to be so alive and have so much newness in Christ that it's just bubbling over all the time. And we all have that desire. And then in this verse, Paul says that we should walk. He says we should walk. So it doesn't sound like it's something that just happens. I think that after we repent of our sins and our sins are washed away, there is something that happens. We become a new person, raised up into new life in Christ Jesus. And many times this refreshing effect on our lives is such a wonderful feeling. We just long for that sometimes. But I would like to explain more, maybe a more logical way to look at that. Because if we're realistic with ourselves, each of us know that it just doesn't happen. It doesn't, 10 days after we've had this wonderful experience, we don't feel that experience anymore. We wonder why. And I don't want to discourage us. I want to comfort us this morning, thinking and showing us that it's because we're human and because we're flesh. But God has the power, just as there's power in that outlet that we can plug into, and that we can be alive, even if we don't feel like it. We can still be there. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5 says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance." I don't think we struggle with the understanding, this feeling of relief of sin in our life, or the joy, that peace that comes into our soul after giving our life to Jesus. I think many of us have experienced that joy and forgiveness. But it's the 10 days afterwards, and I'm using that as just a number. It could be any amount of days. We still want to be alive and vibrant after that. And I don't think that there is a process. I think it comes back down to faith. Or even we could say it comes back down to a review point. We lose that feeling. We lose that enthusiasm. Now we're at a point where we need to review a little bit. We need to remind ourselves a little bit about what has happened. And if we look at it, nothing has happened. God hasn't changed. His promise to forgive us hasn't changed. It hasn't been taken away. He loves us the same as he always has loved us. He didn't die again. He's still alive and powerful. So if God hasn't changed, what has changed? That we don't have that emotional feeling of being alive in Christ. And it comes back to our faith. Do we believe that we are raised again in new life? Do we believe that? Do we believe that we died to sin and now we're alive in Christ? And so we can't get around it. It comes back to our faith. That we have to reckon, it says in verse 11, "Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God." So even though that power comes into us, it happens, and I can't explain how that happens. The Holy Spirit does that. There's still something that we have to do. We have to believe and reckon that it happened, and we have to stick with it, that it happened. And along with that, we have to, something that we have to connect along with our faith. In Ephesians 4:24, it says, "And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." In Colossians 3:10 says, "And have put on the new man again, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." And then along with that, I was thinking of James, how it says, "What doth it profit a man, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him?" So this putting on is something more than just our faith. We have to have faith. It's something more than faith, though. Our faith is what our Christian life is based on. We can't live a Christian life without faith in Jesus. Faith in that he rose again. Faith to believe that he is the Son of God. But if faith doesn't have fruit in our lives, then do we really have faith? I guess is the question that keeps coming back to me. So we have to remember that there is another choice we all have to make after we choose to accept Jesus into our lives. We have to choose every day, all the time, to put on the new man. We have to reckon that we are dead to sin now, and we're going to live, even though we don't have a feeling, we change life, we put on the new man. And I was impressed, or it was encouraged with Tony's testimony and how he explained it from the evangelist in Maranatha about the two tables and how you have to stay separate. You can't put it on the new man is not going over where the old man is. You stay away from the old man now. You make that decision. And Gilbert's testimony too about discipline. It takes discipline to decide to put on the new man. It doesn't just happen. It's like a little thing that we have to do to turn on that light switch back there. Put on a new man. To harness that power that God wants to have, to walk in newness of life. And I think too often that our struggle that keeps us from being spiritually alive is either like the rich young ruler, where we don't want to lay our lives down for the kingdom of God, or because we are maybe too lazy to put that effort forth to simply do the things to maintain our spiritual lives. Jesus will never die again for our sins. He will never have to be resurrected again. And the power of Christ in our lives will never change. I'm going to say that different. The power of Christ that's available for our life will never change. It's constantly there. It's always ready for us. It'll always be powerful and it's alive. And Christians, we don't have to struggle quite as much as we do sometimes. The power of Jesus is just as good and powerful as it was 2,000 years ago when he arose from the dead. When he came walking out of that tomb after the angel rolled the stone away, that power is the same today as it was then. It hasn't changed. It's been in the outlet, sitting in that outlet, waiting for Christians to plug into it all these years, and it will be throughout the rest of eternity. I think it's good for believers to remember this and take time to put that effort to keep Christ in our lives each day. In Romans 8, 9, 10, and 11, I'm going to read those. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he has none of this. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of unrighteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And just another scripture to bring the point out that we have to reckon ourselves dead and alive. We died, now we're alive through Christ. I don't think that just because you believe that Jesus can and will save you is enough to have newness of life or to get the power of Jesus Christ in your life as you could. It is our belief and faith that brings us to Jesus, and our faith in Jesus is the most important thing that we need to plug the cord in to the power of Jesus. But just as Jesus laid his life down for our sins on the cross, we have to lay our lives down at the foot of the cross. When we lay our life down, he laid his human life down and died as a human, and then when he rose from the dead, he raised himself in newness of life with supreme power. And when we come to the foot of the cross, we surrender our lives to Christ, we die to sin, and then are raised up with hearts as white as snow. The burden of sin is gone, and the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and gives us joy and peace. It's such a wonderful feeling. But now back to keeping the newness of life in our hearts. It's not a feeling, it's a decision, a choice to give up my wants and to do what is right. We have to put on the new man by having the right mindset. So when we gave our life to Christ, we have to remember that we died to sin and trusted Christ to raise us up in newness of life. And thinking like this is scriptural, and it is putting on the new man. That's what putting on the new man is, to do that. It's a way that we plug our cord into the power of Jesus Christ properly. And this might seem too easy and common of an idea to actually have the power of Jesus in your hearts. But I want to say that it works for me, and it's taught in the Bible. And so I believe that even as simple and as common as it might seem to us, that's what it takes for us to do. And I have three things that I just want to summarize a little bit, that the key to getting the power of your life, of Jesus in your life. First of all, just believe in Jesus. Second, surrender to Jesus. And third, after you have surrendered to Jesus, remember you are a Christian and do what Christ says. And that seems very elementary and very simple, yet I believe that's how simple it can be. I believe it is what Kayla Tucker did, and I believe that all the Christians that you see, that you feel are on fire for the Lord, I think that's what they're doing today. Walking in newness of life is not complicated or hard to understand, but it does take sacrifice, and discipline to keep our cords plugged in properly. And in essence, you know, if you give up your life just as Christ gave up his life for us, that will help us. And I want to challenge each of us today to live our Christian life so that we can have that power. We can have the newness of life in our lives, and we can be on fire. I don't know that you're going to be going around and bubbling over with wanting to tell everybody, but I think there might be times you will be like that. And I don't want to promise you that you'll just feel this wonderful, happy, alive feeling all the time. But if you consistently keep on dying to Christ and putting on the new man every day, you will be alive in Christ. It's a very simple formula, really. And I also want to say in the very last thing that I want to commit my life to having this power and to being alive. I don't want to be a Christian that is trying to get by with halfway surrender and not having the power of Jesus Christ in my life. You know, if you think about it, I think all of us will have to admit we want all the power in our life that is available. And there is more power available for our lives than we can ever use or need. And it's there. We sometimes struggle because we just want to struggle. We don't really need to struggle. And I'm not saying that we won't be tempted. I'm saying that for us to get into have Jesus work through our lives in his power to make us alive is not hard to understand. It's not a complicated thing. It's a very simple formula, but it does take sacrifice and giving up of ourselves to do that. I'll close with that. I know you've had a lot of testimonies, so you might not have much, but I will leave it open just for a little bit. Somebody wants to... Thank you.